Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to a new edition of Rhymes Use the News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Uewa Frazier. Today, my guest is author Dan O'Brien. Dan O'Brien has written over 50 books, including the best-selling Bitter, which was featured on Conversations Book Club's Top 100 Novels of 2012. Before starting Amalgam, he was the senior editor and marketing director for an international magazine. In addition, he has spent over a decade in the publishing industry as a freelance editor. You can learn more about Dan's literary and publishing consulting business by visiting his website at www.amalgamconsulting.com. Let's pick up with Dan O'Brien now. Hi, am I speaking with Dan O'Brien?
Yep, this is Dan.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dan, for joining me today. I know that you have a busy schedule, and I'm so excited to hear about your newest book, Six Crimes.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. And again, thanks for having me on the show. I know it's kind of late notice. We had a bit of a mix-up there, but really glad to be on.
Okay, thanks so much. So why don't we just go right to, I'd love to know about your background as a writer, how you got started. I usually start by asking my guests how they got started and their inspirations and how they came to publishing. And then, you know, we can definitely segue into talking about your current book.
That sounds great, yeah. So for me, writing was always kind of an interest of mine. So even though I was a little kid, I always make up stories when I was playing games with friends and family and things like that. And around 8, I put together a play for my cousin's birthday. So I made, you know, little characters and put them on popsicle sticks and told this little story with a fun little background. And then from that moment on, I was kind of hooked, you know, in telling people stories and trying to create worlds. And it kind of grew from there. And so I wrote my first novel when I was about 16, and I published that in my early 20s. And then just from there, it kind of just kept going. I started out in traditional publishing and then kind of moved into indie publishing over time for a variety of reasons. But a lot of it was just I loved the creative process so much, and I love designing books, and I love editing books, and I love the marketing part of it. So it became really kind of obvious for me to stick with it and kind of transition with, you know, where the publishing industry was going.
Wow, that's amazing. So it sounds like you're not just a writer, you also get in on the design end. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's not my perfect expertise, right? I mean, it's not the first thing I'm great at, it's not the last thing, you know, I'm great at necessarily. But I do kind of like putting that part together because, people like to say, you don't judge a book by its cover, but a lot of people do, especially, you know, the way it's designed in the interior as well as, you know, kind of what you have going on is that first look on the cover. So, yeah, I kind of enjoy doing that. I've designed all the covers for my own books, with the help of some artists to create images sometimes or some photographers to capture an image. But the design itself, I really do enjoy it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And now you're out west. Are you also a part of any writers' consortiums or groups? I know that there are a lot of different writers' networks and whatnot all over the country. Are you a part of any of those?
I was part of the North State Writers Association. But I recently moved down to Arizona to help take care of my dad. But they're a great little organization that's kind of just both San Francisco and Sacramento. They were out of a great little indie bookstore called Lion Books, which unfortunately now is out of business, as are a lot of indie bookstores. But other than that, I'm kind of more of a keeping to myself type of writer. You know, I have my own little cave. And I have a lot of friends and fellow writers online that I keep in touch with through, you know, Facebook groups and things like that. But in terms of official organizations, it was just that one.
Okay. And are you of the school of thought that writers should always be studying, taking workshops, learning from esteemed, legendary writers and authors, studying the classics? What are your thoughts on keeping your craft fresh and continuing to kind of evolve in your art?
I think you kind of hit on a lot of major ones there. For me, writing is a process, right? And you get better over time. The more you write, just like anything else, the better at it you get. I'm a big fan of, you know, reading the greats and taking something from that, but then also being realistic about your work. The first book you write is unlikely to be the best book you've ever written, and most
mm-hmm.
writers haven't even written their best book yet. So learning to take criticism, workshopping is great. I like to go to conferences, you know, talk to both agents and other writers, have a lot, as many beta and alpha readers as you can to get a lot of feedback. Feedback is kind of important to the process of growing and being honest with what your goals are about, you know, any given book or maybe the scope of your writing career is really, really helpful too, because otherwise you kind of get stagnant. You think you know the best way to do something, and it might not be the case that you've reached your best work yet or your best version of yourself yet. And as a writer, you know, just myself, I'm always trying to be the best possible version I can be. So whether it's writing the best book or telling the best possible story in a way that reaches the most people. So it's always kind of that creative, continuous process.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I hear so many authors say that, you know, you kind of pull your inspiration from everywhere. You can read a little, you can go to, you know, the conferences, attend some workshops, but then there is a point where you have to be alone to create. So do you have a sort of like a writing schedule, a schedule for a timeline for your books?
I actually like to put time in every day to write. I kind of treat it like a muscle. I go to the gym every day, you know, I make sure to write every single day. And when I'm working on any given title, I kind of have maybe a target word count in mind, and I try to meet those goals every day. But as just a rhythm, I try to write somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000 words a day just to keep, you know, the practice kind of fresh. That way I can kind of avoid writer's block and things like that, because it's just a rhythm I get into every day. To work on.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to work on 2 or 3 books a year, even if I don't necessarily finish 2 or 3 books a year. I like
right.
to be able to leapfrog, right? So you think you've reached a point in one book, you're like, man, I don't really know where this is going. I, you know, instead of getting writer's block and kind of getting stagnant, I jump, right? So my writer's block is I jump to the next book and I just kind of keep going until, you know, something gets finished and I can start workshopping it and,
right.
you know, getting some readers in there.
You know, and I want to just speak to, you know, I've asked other writers what do they do when they get a writer's block, but I really like what you just said about, okay, if you feel that block, then what you do is you transfer that energy or that thought process and you put it into something else. That way you're continually creating instead of getting stumped by one project.
Yeah, getting kind of bogged down. Yeah, exactly.
I
always try to use different genres, too, if I can, right? So if I'm writing, a horror book, you know, I'll probably have some kind of short slice of life fiction going somewhere else, so it's not only is it a different book, but it's kind of a different thought process, hopefully. So I'm not thinking, oh, how am I going to write scary, you know, right now? Over here, I'm just going to kind of write something kind of personal, something
mm-hmm.
that kind of relates to what's going on. It works really well.
Yeah. So I want to give you the utmost kudos, because in reading your bio and looking you up, you've written over 50 books, and I'm just wondering, how was that possible?
for a while.
You know, congratulations. But
thank you.
So how were you, I mean, was it like you said, you work on 2-3 projects a year, and you just, you know, you just never stop writing, and then you pick what you're going to publish. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty steady process since I was about 16 or 17. And there's a point there in my early 20s when, you know, and everybody's going through that phase of trying to figure out who you are. You know, I really thought I wanted to be this great writer, and I thought I had to produce a lot of work to do it. So I was, you know, trying to not only write, but finish 2 or 3 books a year and kind of get them turned around, you know, as quickly as I could. And I wrote a lot of, you know, novellas for a while, which kind of speed up that process when you're only writing maybe 100, 125 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was just kind of always kind of being in motion. And, you know, they always say that a writer, you know, doesn't only have one idea. When you first start out, you think, oh, no, it's just going to be this book. And, you know, I have this one really fun idea, and hopefully I can take it to completion. And for every one idea you create 3 or 4 or 5 more. And all of a sudden you have more, you know, works in progress than you could possibly finish in your lifetime. So I just try to, you know, keep at that list without adding too many more to it. But
mm-hmm.
it's just a continuous process. I've never really stopped writing. I don't imagine that would change anytime soon.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, who are some of your, you mentioned writing horror, and I know you write science fiction, and so you have a number of genres that you kind of delve in. Who are some of your favorite writers and authors?
I'm kind of I trend more toward the classic writers. You know, I love Hemingway, of course, Victor Hugo, Faulkner. I like Stephen King, of course. I kind of grew up reading his books. But Frank Herbert and Philip K. Dick are probably some of my favorite science fiction guys. I love Lovecraft. You know, he's kind of the king of horror in that way. Everybody kind of copied him, you know, in one way or the other. More recently, like, I liked the Game of Thrones books and things like that. I was a huge fan of Tor books. You know, like in the 90s, they were putting out tons of titles every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of those, you know, silly fantasy titles. But yeah, usually Hemingway and Steinbeck are who I usually say are my two favorites, along with Victor Hugo. I try to read anything that comes across my desk. In my in high school, I wanted to read all the Harvard classics. So a lot of what I thought about writing was kind of derived from, you know, kind of working their way through those. And as a result, I kind of have an odd writing style in the sense that I try to appeal to an older audience. And so I think it's
okay.
Wait,
like, now, what do you call older? What do you call older?
Of like the generation, 40s, 50s? The generation that's already gone. No, the generation that's already gone. You know, sometimes like turn of the century. I'll write, you know, really odd narrative-driven fiction, even when it's horror. Sometimes instead of giving something that's maybe a little shorter for a shorter attention span, sometimes I'll have a tendency to kind of, you know, write these for, you know, more verbose type novels. But, you know, it's kind of it's a good mix. But sometimes that's what I feel like writing, and that's what I feel like it takes to tell the story. And sometimes I just kind of write those really, really quick, you know, right to the point, getting people excited about it, and it's really easy to kind of get in and digest. But it kind of depends. It depends what, you know, what the genre is. And I wrote one tome that's like 800 pages long. That's not really made for a modern audience in a lot of ways, because just stuff like that's a huge time investment for a lot of people, even if they enjoy it. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit of both.
Wow. So, you know, you're out west, and I'm thinking about, you know, you've written so many books. Do you ever think about the whole, you know, book to film and writing for film and that kind of thing? Because it really sounds like a lot of your books would make great thrillers and really be great on the screen. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's funny you bring it up, because that's always been the next phase, is to be kind of successful enough at writing novels that maybe I could, you know, get something adapted or, you know, work on some screenplays as well, because I kind of always wanted to write for movies, but I spent so much time in publishing and so much time writing novels that I don't know if I have the right mindset for it. I really want to do it, but it's not, you know, I haven't really made that jump yet. You know, I don't have an entertainment agent, you know what I mean? So I don't want someone that knows that world well enough that I can get stuff adapted. And, of course, you can't just, like, you know, walk up to a studio and be like, hey, adapt my book. So it's definitely something I want to do. I just got to figure out, you know, the right way to get into it. But that does interest me. I've kind of always wanted to find a way to transition into, you know, either turning what I've already written into movies or, you know, use that as a springboard to kind of write for film.
Exactly. Well, you know what? It's just, maybe think of it this way. You started writing your books at one point. I'm sure that seemed like a really lofty feat, but so now maybe take that same focus, and if you really want to go to that next step, then just don't judge yourself and don't, worry about, okay, now how am I going to get this to the,
sure,
maybe just focus on getting it to an agent. You know what I mean? Just like take one step
right
at a time.
I know you, but
I'm just like, for the short time that we're talking, hey, maybe you'll get something out of this.
No, I think you're right. And I think that's the exact correct advice, right? I always kind of preach that when I talk to people when they're new writers, is like, don't be afraid to put something out there. Just work on creating what you intend to, and then go after
exactly
as hard as you can every single day. So,
and
yeah, I mean, perfect advice.
Let the other, like, worry about creating and getting it to someone. Like, and that's
sure
all. And don't worry about the other stuff, because there's someone or people out there, their job is to take it the next step. You
exactly
see what I'm saying?
I do, yeah, I like that. That's good advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So now let's talk about Six Prime. What I don't want to say too much, because I know with writers in a new book, you want to at least give your readers something to look forward to. So as a radio host, I don't want to, like, do your whole synopsis and all that. But
sure.
Whatever you want to tell us is great.
Okay, so Six Prime for me was kind of an interesting project because I wanted to write something that had a fixed length. So there's six books. It's a countdown, right? So it goes Sixth Prime, Fifth Prime, Fourth Prime, all the way down to Prime. And it's kind of meant as a book where I went to graduate school for psychology. So I've always wanted to bring that in a meaningful way, and I just never, short of like writing, psychos for books, right? In a horror book, I use a lot of the background I have in the psychopathy and things like that to write characters that way, but I've never really gone the extra mile and purposely crafted characters that have distinct personality profiles that represent the, variety, in the human race. So I purposely did that. I chose a very specific category of personality types, and then I wrote characters that fit those. And the book itself, without giving too much away, is about how these, original 16 characters, how their lives overlap without them knowing, and then over time, how meaningful they are to each other as they're kind of moving toward this calamity that, occurs over six books.
Right.
And, it takes place in kind of a long time ago in a far, far away place type of thing. But there's also this other side of it that isn't in the first book, but it is something for readers to look forward as they're going, through the series, where it kind of takes place, in this reality as well. So there's kind of this juxtaposition of, this futuristic world with spaceships and two warring, ideologies. And then people who just kind of live in this small town, in coastal California, and how all of their lives there are also really, really intertwined in kind of this, very, very specific way. And, I like stuff like Lost and Fringe and a lot of those, very fun sci-fi shows that were, both episodic but then kind of had to tie together narrative. And this is kind of similar in that way. It's like you want to be interested in it because the characters not only have meaningful to you, but a lot of times people feel like, wow, that really describes me well. And I've been very fortunate because the feedback I've gotten thus far, everybody seems to really enjoy reading it. And more importantly, that they seem to appreciate the care I took with each character and that some of those characters really reflect, who they are. It's like, wow, that person feels like that could be me, and they make kind of similar decisions in this kind of, fantastical world. So, and the other thing, genre, it's science fiction, sure, it's space opera, yeah, but there's, there's elements of horror to it because, I love to write in that genre, and then there's just your basic, dramatic narrative that's kind of built in as well,
yeah.
And family and friendship and things like that.
And, I mean, is there anything that you would want to, you have your book, are you going to do a sequel to it? Is there, like, something that you didn't put in the book that you really wanted to, but you said, I'll just save it for that next part of the series? How will you continue with this storyline?
Yeah, so through the six books, the first thing that isn't in Six Prime is that there's something that happens. So it's all about prime numbers. I'm kind of a math nerd, so part of it was algorithmic, and that was interesting to me. But it sort of counts down to the 16 characters, and so that means some of them, die. But as they reach prime numbers, interesting things happen to these people. So they gain, for lack of a better term, powers, and that changes how they see the world, it changes how the world sees them, and also changes how they, they're reaching toward this inevitable end. So what's not in the first book that is going to be in each subsequent book is this notion kind of powers and how those powers affect who they are, how they use those powers, maybe how they use those powers to make the world a better place. So, the thing that really isn't in Six Prime that it'd be kind of neat if I put it in it would have been this, kind
mm-hmm.
of power notion. But it didn't make sense in the first book, and the first book is all about kind of setting up the characters, setting up the world, giving you kind of the opening strokes of, who they're going to be and, the beginnings of their story and the overall conflict. So it's not there, but it is part of the series. It's very much part and parcel with what's going on. But that would be the one thing that, especially as people are reading through the series and be like, well, that wasn't in this book, but it's, it's kind of not supposed to be there.
Wow. So in terms of the feedback that you received from your readers, can you share what, you mentioned how they feel a connection or a personal connection to the characters in your book. What is some other feedback you're receiving in terms of the real great interest in what you've created?
Most people really like the detail. The one thing I hear over and over again that kind of speaks to what you said before is a lot of people feel like it could be a movie. it's very visual, and it always kind of feels like, you know, you're right there in the moment with them, and what's kind of going on is very vibrant. And with Six Prime, I'm definitely hearing a lot of that as well. People feel like it's, you know, it's very cinematic for a book. They're enjoying the characters, kind of, you know, enjoying the overall narrative. And most importantly, as I pose questions in the beginning of the book, I answer those questions by the end of it, but I also, you know, kind of present these larger questions that, you know, carries the interest of the readers through future books. And I've been getting that feedback, and it's great because that was intentional, right? You want to answer the questions that you kind of, you know, provoke to people in the beginning of a book, but you also want to leave and kind of want a little more as you go forward. So it's a little dance every writer does. And it's good to know that I kind of did it well, or at least well enough that people are interested in kind of knowing what's happening going forward.
That's wonderful. And, you know, would you say this is your favorite book? I know it's hard. It's like asking a mother what's her favorite child. But, you know, is this the culmination of all of your growth and layers of your interests as a writer, what you have an interest in writing, as well as what you're learning on this journey? Is Six Prime a culmination of that? Is it one part of a greater whole that you've been, you know, striving to create all this time? How do you view that in your life as a writer?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I do really feel like, I'm not sure if it's my favorite book, because like you said, that's a difficult question. You know, when you do something at a certain time, it felt like, oh, this is the best, you know, this is my favorite book. But I think it really does reflect, you know, as you said, kind of a culmination of everything I've written up to this point, you know, the mistakes I've made in the past with certain books. You know, I'm kind of not making them here. I'm kind of instead making some strides, and things that have worked kind of well for readers, I'm making sure to involve those as well. And it is the first steps of six steps to me. The whole totality of Prime, you know, all six books, I think will feel like, yeah, this is what I was intending to do. I think these are the books that I always kind of wanted to write. And in many ways, even though I've written so many books before, these sort of feel like maybe if I'm known as a writer in 20 or 30 years or something, people talk about me, you know, this would be the series. They'd be like, oh yeah, that's the guy that wrote that Prime series. It does sort of feel like that. Like this is, you know, maybe the first real steps, taking into account everything I've done up until this point as a writer. And, you know, and also, like I said, what I want from writing. So, you know, who I want to be as a writer, it's kind of subsumed in this series because it's a little bit science fiction, it's a little bit horror, you know, it's a little bit traditional dramatic narrative, and it's fun. You know, writing it, and, the best thing for writers when you enjoy writing something and readers enjoy reading it. So it's been that thus far. And hopefully I can stay that over six books and people will continue to be kind of enthusiastic about it. But for me, it's been the most rewarding of the books I've written because it feels easy to write. There wasn't any point during Six Prime where I felt like, man, this is kind of arduous. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this done, or I don't really like this part. I mean, the moment I was done with Six Prime and I sent it to the editor, I started Fifth Prime. I'm already halfway through that. So the story itself feels like not only is it fun to tell, but it's really easy to tell. And I'm not really sure if that means anything in terms of, you know, how, you know, readers are going to respond to it. But for me, it's been really nice.
Wow. And, you know, also in terms of promotions, do you do a lot of book events, appearances, library events, college, university talks? What are some of the ways that you try to reach your readers and, you know, kind of meet them in person and talk, you know, do your book talks from there?
Up until recently, yeah, I loved doing live events. I loved doing talks. I loved going to local universities. I kind of moved to a rural area like to help out with my dad, and so that's kind of taken the edge off of being able to do in-person marketing as much. But, I love doing podcasts. I love doing radio shows. I try to do at least 50 to 100 of those every time I put a book out. I do a lot of internet advertising, so a lot of, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, BookBub, things like that, as many book book blog tours as I can. And then the convention circuit, as much as I'm able, which right now isn't a lot, usually I was in Portland before this, and so there's a lot of availability to go out and go to, you know, not only book conventions but comic conventions and sci-fi conventions and horror conventions. And I try to do as many as I can, if for nothing else. So just there's really nothing like it. It's so much fun to go there and meet not only people that are interested in your work, but other people that produce too. It's so much fun.
Right. And you can network, you know, there's so many cons now, you know, CON,
exactly.
Like all kinds of book cons and comic cons and, you know, all any con that you want. You can, you know, lots of, where, like you say, like-minded folks, people looking for the product that you have, people that may be able to represent you, work with you, collaborate with you. That's what, you know, I find really great about those things. And like you said, you know, there, I'm sure there are a lot of authors who, you know, you might not live in the big city like New York City or L.A. or somewhere, but the Internet is our friend. I mean, the whole digital marketing is great with Twitter, Facebook, and all of those. So I agree with you to that end. Now, what kind of advice would you give? And wanting to let you know, we are 4 minutes out. And it's been a great interview so far. Thank you so much, Dan. I just wanted to ask you, with time remaining, share, first off, any tidbit of advice you might give a new writer, someone who really wants to be published. And then last, tell us, you know, what you have coming up. What's next for you?
Sure. Again, thanks for having me on the show. For me, the best advice I could give a writer is to be unafraid. Write the book that matters to you, get it read, and get it published, and don't let anything get in the way. Don't let fear of the unknown or fear of failure to get in the way, because failure is just the stuff of success. Everybody fails before they succeed. So fail forward, and don't be afraid to fail. And just keep writing. I mean, nobody writes a bestseller the first time out. I mean, some folks do, but they're the exception to the rule. It's a process. And it takes work, and if you put the work in and you have a goal and you never lose sight of that goal and you never let yourself fall down in front of it, you will find reasonable success relative to your goals. So just never give up on that. And so for me, I mean, what's coming up, the Prime series is going to kind of be all that's on my plate going forward probably the next 5-6 years. I write a lot of short fiction, so it'll kind of be some other, you know, silly kind of Kindle titles built in. And the next book in the Laura Westlake series, so Bitten is the book I'm most well known for, and there's a third book coming out in that series, probably sometime next year around Halloween. I like to drop it when it's a scary time of year. But other than that, it's going to kind of be those two series for a while because they've been the most successful for me, and I enjoy writing them so much. They're both a lot of fun for very different reasons.
Wow. You've got, you know, you're a fast train moving, Dan O'Brien, because you have your timeline set up. I'm very impressed with it, and I'm sure anyone who listens will be inspired by your background, the fact that you have, you're prolific in that you have created so many works for readers and people who love books. We have 2 minutes out, and I'd like to ask you now, Dan, about the whole digital publishing revolution, and what are your thoughts on whether that takes away from the love of books, or is it just helping readers to gain access to text and the authors they love on the Internet?
So for me, the Indian publishing revolution did one really important thing, and it gave everybody a voice, and there's nothing more important than that in the world right now. Everybody deserves a voice. And publishing can give people that platform. And I think readers are going to read regardless of what the medium is. And the more books there are, the better for the world it is. Reading makes you think in a way that nothing else can. It forces you to imagine something that doesn't really exist. If there's anything that could change the world, it's being able to imagine something that can't exist. So for me, any way to get books in the hands of people, regardless of the medium, is one of the best things we can do for the world.
Wow, that's beautiful. And with 18 seconds out, Dan O'Brien, I just want to thank you once again for being here on Rhymes, Views, and News Talk Radio. Congratulations on your book, Six Prime. And for my listeners, please visit Dan at authordanobrien.com or amalgamconsulting.com.
Thanks again.
Thank you again, Dan, and take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.